Good morning and welcome to a March Madness edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. For the first time in 17 years, UVA is represented in both the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments. My guest today is an integral part of the women's program, and that's assistant coach Tim Taylor. Tim, thanks for popping over to U-Haul, which is a building whose days are numbered. Do you have any fond memories of this arena?
Oh, my gosh, Jeff, I have so many fond memories. I can't even tell you. Just from working here and being a part of so many games, I used to come when I was a young kid.
So you coached in here before JPJ?
Oh, yeah. I coached in here. My kids ran around U-Haul. We had camps in this place. So I spent 5 years in this place just as an employee. And grew up watching the Sampson and Lamp eras.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a lot of fun coming to the games then and a lot of fond memories because I think U-Haul was a great place to play in. And I remember looking at JPJ standing in the middle of it and telling recruits, this is what it's going to look like.
You watched the NCAA selection show Monday night at Wild Wings with the team. What was it like for you as coaches to see the players literally jump for joy 7 minutes into the show when UVA-Cal appeared on the screen?
You know, the whole time that it's been about these kids, and I think one of the things that I got a joy from was just watching their reaction and, you know, the hugs and the smiles and the hard work that they put in. And you think back to the disappointment they had last year, thinking that they definitely were in, and then being able to come back. We were 4-6 in December and watching their fortitude and continuing to work. And, yeah, I just – one of the moments I remember from that night when I was standing there with Keisha and Lauren Moses came to us, and in her eyes it was almost like, thank you, coach. So that's a moment I won't ever forget.
You knew you had a great strength of schedule, a really solid RPI. Then the night before, the NCAA had announced the eight teams, I guess, who in some combination were going to be the last four in and the last four out. Virginia was not in that group, so you're pretty confident going in Monday night, right, that you were in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When they announced that, and I didn't know they were going to
I saw that. Yeah, I had no idea either.
I mean, I was shocked.
That's a twist, yeah.
And when that came out, I felt pretty confident. You know, if we'd been in that eight, I knew we were on the bubble, but I didn't think there was any way that we would be not in the first four out. So the only thing that got me was USC on the men's side had a 33 RPI and didn't get in, and we had a 33 RPI.
So as several people noted Monday night, ESPN and or the committee like the storylines, and the Virginia-Cal matchup has an obvious one with Joanne Boyle having been at Cal before she came here to Charlottesville. Cal is the 7 seed, Virginia's the 10. What a brief scouting report on Cal.
Outstanding post player. Angela I is really good. Hopefully I didn't butcher her name. Outstanding, runs the floor really well. They're athletic, very similar to us. I think, you know, they get up and down the floor. They are trying to attack things. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup for both teams. And, they got a little 5'4 point guard that's a dynamo. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things they do are on the strong side, and they're trying to attack the basket initially. So I think rebounding and transition defense are going to be really key in this game.
As you mentioned, the team was 4-6 after losing to Rutgers in early December. Then came a 2-week break for final exams, and it has been a different team since then. What happened to kind of trigger that turnaround? Was it anything that happened during the break? Or I know the schedule was tough
right
to that point.
Well, I think part of it is, I mean, you have to look at the entirety of the schedule and how things worked out. When you were early on, it was going to be really tough. And then when we were 4-6, you know, we missed a couple layups. Georgia, we missed a layup. Maryland, we missed a layup. You know, people feel a lot better about you when you're 6-4 and 4-6.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with the team saying, look, ladies, this season's not over. The next eight games set up, if we handle our business and do what we're supposed to do and we work toward that, we have an opportunity to go on a run here. And they bought into it, and they worked really hard in that break. And I think we went down to Florida, gained some confidence, mm-hmm. you know, beating Indiana. And then we, you know, beating Syracuse here, I think, was another stepping stone, and then going to state. So it just kind of rolled itself in. And they started believing, and we started playing some pretty good basketball.
The roster has an interesting mix. The majority of the players are either sophomores or seniors. You have small freshman class, small third-year class. Let's talk about the second-year group first. I mean, that seems to be the nucleus of a really solid team going forward with Jocelyn, Dominique, Lisa, and Felicia.
Right. I think that's an outstanding class. I mean, you still – you don't realize they're sophomores because so many of them have been starting and they've been through the wars. They came in and, you know, at some point those four all have started probably 30 games. You know, Lisa was in the lineup last year starting quite a bit when we went on a big run. And then, you know, Fee has been in there. So they've all gained a lot of experience. They're great kids. They bring something different. You know, Jocelyn's a little bit of a do-everything type of athlete, player, leader. You know, Dom's that dynamic player that I think her best basketball is ahead. Lisa is starting to become more offensive-minded. She does all the little things. And then I really believe the Fee, you know, this is me speaking, so I think that's a child that has an opportunity to dominate the women's game in another year and a half from her experience. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you about her specifically. She's 6'9", so if she's not the tallest player in college women's basketball, she's in a small group. She made the all-defensive team. She leads the ACC in block shots. You can just see her – the progress she's made since coming in here as a first year to this point is impressive, and there's obviously more room for growth, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that there's a tremendous growth. I don't think she's even scratched the surface. I think, as you can see, her consistency is the one thing that needs to get a little bit better. She's had dominant games, 17 and 13, 15 and 12. It's being able to continuously grow and work, and she works so hard. And it was interesting, if you saw the graphic that was put up on the ESPN with Tierra McCowan, the numbers are very similar in their first and second year, and then you saw that big jump as a junior. So I think her growth is going to be exponentially over this next summer and spring.
Right.
You know, spring and summer, sorry.
There are four seniors on the roster, three of whom are in the rotation, play a lot. What has that group meant to the program this year? They all said before the season, during the season, and then after the selection show, you know, how important it was for them to make the tournament during their career, and now they have.
Well, and I think that was the one driving force for them all summer, and I think they continued to work. You know, we had some rough patches in there, but as far as like Aaliyah and JB, they played really, really well other than maybe a little two-week stretch there. And they've met so much as far as their leadership, and they're just good people. And they bring something every day. They bring a big smile. They bring an energy. So I think that what they've meant to this program is they've given it stability. You know, you didn't have the kids going in and out like you see all the transfers. Those four stuck it out, and I think they've given the program stability and allowed it to have a foundation for growth.
Your coaching resume, which is a long one, includes not one, not two, but three stints as a UVA women's assistant coach. You worked for Debbie Ryan from 2000 to 2005, then again from 2009 to 2011, that time as associate head coach. Then you came back here in the summer of 2016 to join Joanne's staff. What is it about this place that keeps pulling you back?
You know, I grew up a Virginia fan. I'm a Charlottesville boy. You know, I believe in this university. I believe in the people.
So what high school did you go to?
Madison County.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm from the area. Yeah. I grew up.
And you're still out there.
Yeah. I'm still out there. Other than a brief stint for about 7 or 8 years, we were out of the area. But to me, this is a unique place. It's a special place. It has special people. I mean, you know, I've known you for years. I've known so many other people here. And you always want to get back. And I think I was not looking to get back in this last time, but I just felt a calling to come back and try to help the program, and it's in my heart, it's in my blood. So,
your wife attended UVA, right?
And, yes, she did.
Graduated from the comp school.
Yes,
she is the brains of the operation.
She married. I married up, and I tell people everybody gets one mistake, and I was hers.
What I covered the team for the Richmond Times-Dispatch back when Dawn played here, when it was a perennial top five program. You know, the landscape of the sport has changed a lot.
Right.
UConn was not on anyone's map back then, and obviously it's the dominant program now. But what do you see as the potential for this for women's basketball at UVA? Can it get to that level again?
Yeah, I you know, you and I have had conversations before. I think this is one of the best jobs in the country. I think the academic piece for the girls, I think the location, the facilities, the commitment from the university for women's basketball, I think it's a top five program, and we've just got to be able to recruit kids and bring it in. But I see a future where we are competing for national championships, just like Tony has done here. I think it's we're getting closer. We've laid the foundation to get back to where we are, and now it's you got to bring in the right kids. But I think it's a great job. I think it's the best job. When, you know, you're talking to someone that loves Virginia, so I think it's the best job in the country. So
the I know the recruiting may not be done for next season, but one player signed in November, Erica Martinson,
right?
Who I believe can really shoot it. What's a scouting report on Erica?
Erica can shoot. I mean, arguably the best shooter in the class coming in. I think, you know, she's 5'10", 5'11", plays with a little chip on her shoulder, and she's going to be able to stretch the floor. One of the things that we said that we had to have coming in this class was a shooter because of feet and Dom dynamic. So, you know, having Amadine will buffer that a little bit. And then, you know, we're not finished recruiting. We're still out there looking for one other player, but Erica's going to really stretch the floor, and you're going to have to respect her at all times on the court.
You mentioned Amandine. I believe I'll get her last name right, Twa.
Yes.
Fans did not get a chance to see her this year. She's a guard from France who tore her ACL during the fall and did not get to play a game. I know the coaching staff was really excited about what she had done in preseason to that point. Is she a point guard, a combo guard? Where does she fit in next season?
Right now, I think she could play any of those positions. She could play one, two, or three. She would probably be, along with Dom, our most dynamic athlete. She's one of the few kids that I have seen that can just go straight up, stop on a dime. You know, you're talking about a 5'9 guard that's dunking tennis balls.
But she's got long arms, right?
Oh, she's so long. She would have been great in the buzz. I told people, I feel like losing her probably cost us maybe two wins this year. And I do think that her basketball IQ, she will elevate Dom's game. She will elevate Brianna's game. And I think that people are going to be excited to see her play.
Your home base has been for many years and still is in Madison County. Can you make that drive down 29 in your sleep?
My car probably is on automatic, I can tell you. We've been there a while. Unfortunately, you know, we'd love to be in Charlottesville, but unfortunately, the house hadn't sold. But 29, I can probably tell you every bump in the road. Madison's a great place. I tell everybody it's God's country.
You were there when Eddie Dean coached football there?
I was there. I played for Eddie.
How about that?
I played for Eddie and played for some great teams, been in a couple state championships with him. So,
you were the principal of a middle school in Madison County for 5 years before you came back to UVA in the summer of 2016. What did that experience teach you? There's a lot of responsibility.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, you know, Jeff, I learned so much doing that job. Probably learned more about myself and learned more about leading people, managing people. You make decisions in that situation for, you know, 55 people. You have 400 students. It taught me four things. You have to be honest. You have to always communicate honestly. You have to build trust. You have to have high expectations and accountability. When you do those things as a principal, and you can build something pretty special. And I think we did there. It taught me how to build an organization.
You have coached women's basketball at the college level, boys basketball at the high school level, and in AAU.
Correct.
How different is it working with the two groups? I mean, are you the same coach no matter who you're coaching, or do you do things differently a little bit?
You know, I think I'm the same coach. I think I have high expectations for my kids regardless of what level they play at, whether it's high school basketball or college basketball. One of the things I think that's different is in the guys in the women's game, I think in a lot of cases that if two males really don't like each other, they will go out and try to win. I think the chemistry and camaraderie in the women's game has to be there for them to function very well. I think on the men's side, we can maybe not like each other. We will play well and then walk off the court and still not like each other. I tell people, but I think on both sides of it, if they know you care, they know that you've got their best interest in, they'll run through that wall for you.
You are a big sports fan. You played football, played multiple sports in high school. There are a number of high-performing athletic programs here, obviously. What do you like to watch when you're not recruiting, when you're not coaching basketball?
I love watching the coaches here at Virginia. I love watching Brian Boland's team. I love coming out. Julie Myers. There are tremendous coaches here, and I really like to see how they interact with their kids and see what things are being successful. You know, we get to witness it every day over here with Tony Bennett and Ron Sanchez and Jason Wilford, that crew, Brad. So I think just watching how people interact with their kids and how they get the best out of their kids. And I think Virginia, you know, man, our Olympic sports here are so good. And being a part of those guys and being in some meetings, you learn a lot.
The men suffered a big blow this week, obviously, when DeAndre Hunter was ruled out. But, you know, having been around Tony Bennett, I would say that if any coach is equipped to kind of handle that and prepare his team for it, he's the one. What you spend time around him and his coaches, what impresses you about that staff and what they've done?
I tell people all the time they're better people than they are coaches. And when you have the type of quality people like that, they're going to bring in quality people and surround themselves with it. And I think, you know, we're the number one team in the country, and for me to say they're better people,
right.
They're caring. One of the biggest things that I've seen in my time here twice, their players get better. You watch the development of their players from the time they're freshmen to the time they're seniors. They get better. Their player development, and Mike Curtis is a big part of that as well. So I think and they're genuine. They're always coming and checking on us and seeing what's going on. And they truly want what's best for this university, not just the men's program. And, gosh, when I heard DeAndre, it broke my heart. But I'll agree with you. This team has a resiliency that not many teams have. So if they can, anybody can overcome it, this team can.
With your team, this will be the first NCAA appearance in 7 years. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. Do you have to kind of guard against the whole "we're just happy to be here" mentality and say, like, "Hey, it's great to be here, but we're here to win as well"? Because you see that with teams when they get on a stage they haven't been in before, get to the Final Four for the first time. Sometimes that's enough for them.
Well, I think that was one of the first things that I remember when we came back here and the kids were talking about the NCAA tournament. And this was last year. And they were like, "Hey, we want to get to a tournament." I said, "Why do you want to get to the tournament? That's not the goal. The goal is to win games in the tournament." So we've been talking about winning games in the tournament for almost a year and a half now. So I think that message is clear. They know they're not just coming. They know it's a business trip. So I think we've done a good job of doing that.
Well, good. Well, Tim, thanks again for making time for this interview. Congrats on a great season. Best of luck in Columbia.
I appreciate it, and I thank you for everything you do for this university.
We don't have enough time to list all the games and matches and tournaments that UVA teams will be competing in over the next several days, but for that information and much more, check virginiasports.com. When my schedule permits, I'll be back with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.